Blog Talk Radio.
Don't go to bed with no price on your head. No, no.
Don't do it.
No, no. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time.
Everybody, thank you for listening. You're listening to What Time Is It? The first live international radio show about watches and the people who love them. And I'm one of them. My name is Jerome Pinault, talking to you here from beautiful Switzerland. And we're on the air with my beautiful co-host, Mina Goldsmith. And she's talking to us from Hollywood, from Los Angeles, California. Hello, Mina.
Hello, Jerome. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much. What time is it out there?
It is a glorious 7:30 a.m.
Have we had breakfast yet?
No breakfast, but definitely some coffee. That's enough.
Coffee is good. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to our first show here. It's been many, many years in the making. Actually, not really. It's been about three, four weeks in the making. And thanks for tuning in. I just want to give you folks a little heads up on what we're going to be doing on the show here, who we are, why we're doing it, what the themes are going to be. First of all, I want to tell you that I am a social media manager in the luxury watch industry. I actually moved from California to Switzerland a year ago. I used to be neighbors with Mina. I just didn't know her back then. And what we're going to do here is basically fairly simple. We're going to take 30 minutes of your time, and we're going to bring the major players of the horology, that's the watch industry here, for live interviews, and we're going to connect these guys with you guys because you'll be able to call into the show here. Our number is actually 760-683-2652. Did I get that right, Mina?
You know, Jerome, let me double. Yeah, that sounded all right to me.
760-683-2652 is our number. You can call in, and we're going to have a we're starting off with a really cool guest today. His name is Maximilian Booster, and he runs MB&F, which is a pretty amazing independent watch company. How to listen to the show? Well, you guys are listening to it already, I would imagine, so clearly it's a web radio show. You can catch it live, or you can download a podcast later on from the archives. We did the show because we thought there was nothing like it out there on the market, right, Mina? I mean, it's kind of rare to find a live opportunity to actually talk to people who make the watches that we wear, that we love, and ask them questions about their business or why they did such a design.
Well, I wanted to. Part of the reason I did the show is I wanted to talk to these people, and they're very interesting to get to know a little about their lives, about their watches, and
yep.
Really find out what makes them, well, a horrible pun, what makes them tick.
Exactly. You got it. So we're going to give everybody in the world an opportunity to do just that as well with our call-in ability. We're going to have celebrities coming in here. We're going to have contests. We're going to have watch questions. If you have really tough watch questions, Mina is actually the horology expert. Quite honestly, I know nothing about horology. My background is technology. It's the web. It's computers and all that stuff. Mina's the go-to person. Actually, Mina's
yes,
the watch matchmaker.
Ology.
Say what?
I said, but you have the ology there. Horology,
I do have the ology.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. All right, so I guess I qualified to do a radio show about watches. Thanks for pointing that out. I never thought about it, but that's kind of cool. And Mina is has the person who's come up with a really unique concept called watch matchmaking. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes. What I am is I'm a watch matchmaker, and it's similar to matchmaking with people, except I match you with a watch so that you fall in love with your watch and you have an excellent relationship. And what I do is I get to know people and see what they want, what would be a good watch match for them based on their lifestyle, the personality, the statement they want to make, kind of like when you match up somebody with another person.
That sounds awesome. That sounds kind of like the millionaire matchmaker, except you're doing it with watches and not the sexy ladies there.
Well, yes, but I could match you with a million-dollar watch if you wanted one.
You could.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, listen, if anybody's listening out there and they're looking for a million-dollar perfect watch match, 760-683-2652 is the number to reach us at, and we'll take care of you. So, listen, the meat and potatoes here, his name is Max Buser. And, Mina, why don't you tell us a little bit about him and his company and where he comes from. I know he started out at GG Le Coutre, which in the U.S., I think we call it JLC, right?
Yeah, we call it JLC because our French accent over here is atrocious. You don't want to hear mine.
Yeah, I've actually used JLC. I've used JLC out here in Switzerland, and people have looked at me like, what are you talking about? So anyway, he started out there, and why don't you tell the rest of the story? I mean, he's had quite an amazing history.
Yes, he is. He's really the UFO, if you will, in the horology world, and that he's really gotten way up there and projected out into the universe, not only with his ideas. He did start at JLC and worked in upper management for 7 years. And then when he was 31 years old, Harry Winston Rare Timepieces recruited him to come and sort of resuscitate that brand because it was almost in bankruptcy. And he came
but
up
Harry,
with
Harry Winston, they were a jewelry place, right?
Yes, Harry Winston is known for their diamonds mostly and their jewelry. And they also had a watch department, but it wasn't doing very well. And they brought in Max to help resuscitate that brand. And he came up with this amazing concept, which to this day, Harry Winston is still going on with, called the Opus series. And what Max did is Harry Winston teamed up with independent, talented watchmakers to come up with these really limited, unique, and groundbreaking watches that you looked at watches in a different way. And he did that for another 7 years. 7 years seems to be his lucky number
magic.
Or something.
His magic.
Yeah.
That is magic number?
That it must be his magic number. And then in 2005, he really had an entrepreneurial spirit, and he had all these creative ideas that didn't necessarily fit in with the Harry Winston Rare Timepiece brand. And he established MB&F, which stands for Maximilian Buser and Friends. And he's kind of doing the same concept. He's getting a collective of very creative people to come in and break the bounds of horology. And he really did stun the world, the horology world anyway, when he came out with his Horological Machine Number 1, which sort of had a Jules Verne feel to it. And
they're amazing. They're amazing machines. Actually, it's sometimes you kind of look at these and you wonder, these aren't really timepieces. They're artwork. They just kind of happen to give you the time. It's like a bonus. But as he likes to say, you don't pay extra for it. So I love that line. Actually, Max is on the air, and he's going to join us in a few moments. And so I hope he's going to agree with everything you just said. Hello, Max. Are you on the air with us?
I am indeed. Hello, Mina. Hello, Jerome. Thank you very much for inviting me, and thank you, Mina, for the introduction.
Hey, Max. It's a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for being the first guy who said yes when we called out for really cool guests. You're at the top of your game in this industry. We're very happy to have you on. We got a couple of questions for you, some product questions, some company questions, and some Max questions, Max and Friends, that is. So, Mina, if you want to go, I know you had a couple of questions for Max to get started.
Yes. Well, first, I want to congratulate you on winning the Design and Concept Award at the Geneva Watch Max, the Geneva Grand
Prix. It's hard to pronounce that one.
Already I'm tongue-tied. So that's a really cool thing, Max. How did you feel about winning
that? Thank you. Honestly, we don't create products to win prizes. We're in a very, very selfish creative process where we create for ourselves to please ourselves, and then we're happy when clients like what we do. Now, it was a bit of a shock. We didn't expect the industry, the establishment, to recognize what we're trying to do. And honestly, when I was on stage, I was extremely it was an important moment for me, and I think that my whole team was jumping up and down on their seats, and everybody was very proud of it. Yeah, it was great.
So, well, you said that you only create for yourself, so I guess I don't know. I guess then it won't matter. Then I was going to say that's a pretty tough act to follow, you know. But I guess it doesn't matter. You always create for yourself. So, can you give us any hints of maybe what's coming up next for the friends?
Well, indeed, it doesn't really matter, because I mean, we get all our joy out of being able to create our crazy, outlandish ideas and make them come true and work with these fantastic people. Now, every year, we create a new machine. Thunderbolt, which was just prized, was number 4. This year there will be a new one. And every year we also have a variation on the existing machines. So we tend not to show the most important new product of the year during the Geneva or Basel Fair show. Why? Because when all these major brands with major voices in the market are screaming to be heard and we whisper, basically, nobody will hear us. So we basically come up with really interesting variations of our existing products during Geneva and Basel. In Geneva, we're presenting the last of the number 2 machine. It had 3.5 years life, and we'd announced when we started that we were going to only give it 3.5 to 4 years life. So even though it is still selling, we're stopping it. So we're coming out with the Swan Song, with the final editions. And then at the end of the year, that's the end of HM2.
Wow.
Yes, I actually talked about that on my site, watchmatchmaker.com. It's a really cool piece. And you oftentimes push the engineering boundaries, and especially when you've been playing around with Sapphire Crystal. And this one is really amazing because you really are featuring the machine in this, where you can gaze into that through that crystal, and it almost disappears, and you can really have a whole great panorama of that movement.
It's an amazing piece, and nothing would have been possible without Martin Stettler, who nobody knows, who is a big manufacturer of sapphire crystals here in Switzerland. And everybody we went to see when we wanted to create the SV with the plans went like, no, impossible, impossible. Then we went to Japan, they said, no, it's impossible. Then we went to China, they said, no, it's impossible. And Martin Stettler, who does a lot of sapphire glasses for many top brands, said, you're nuts, but we're going to try.
Is he in Switzerland?
And they took them like, sorry?
Is he in Switzerland?
Yes, he's in Switzerland, in Lys, and he took it up as a hobby because he's the owner of the company, and they managed. And they also managed to do the incredible sapphire piece of the Thunderbolt. And everybody had closed the door in our face, and not only did they try, but they managed. And that's what's incredible also with MB&F, is that we managed to find these incredible cross people who take risks. And that's why we also call them friends, not only because they do the craftsmanship, is because they take risks.
So, Max, how many friends do you have, actually?
Are we talking of MB&F here?
No, I'm talking on Facebook. I'm a social media guy, Max. No, seriously, in your outfit there, how many people are we talking about that you brought in? Because you actually love working with them, from what I understand.
Well, MB&F, the company, we're 8 of us here. There are 3 watchmakers and out of the 8, and we assemble everything in-house. We get all the different parts manufactured by the friends. Now, these the friends, the partners, there are, I count about 30, 35 of them on each machine. It's a bit like Mission Impossible. I mean, we assemble the best crew for each mission. And then the friends now has become much larger as a circle, because initially it was only the people who were helping us to craft the pieces. Then it became the retailers who helped us and who believed in us and who promoted the brand when nobody knew we existed. And then it became the customers. We've got an incredible community of customers. We have today, and I was counting the other day and I fell off my chair, we have got many more customers who have got more, at least 2, 3, or 4 of our machines, than customers who have only got one.
Yeah, I read that somewhere. Wow. So over 50% of your customer base already owns 2 of your pieces. Yeah. I mean, that's amazing. So it's all about repeat customers. That's totally amazing.
Well, it's understandable as afterwards. I must admit, with a 5 years after, I can start understanding why, because we had no idea who was going to understand what we were going to do, is that we're so radical that the people who like what we do, they love what we do. And maybe 98% of the world doesn't understand or hates what we do. So when you really like it, you love it.
Yeah.
And it talks to you because you're special, you're different, you understand what we're trying to do.
So do your customers actually find the machines, or do you go after them and find the customers? Do they find the machines, or do the machines find them actually? I mean, you're pretty up there in price. How do you grab people like that?
Well, first of all, our retail partners. I mean, they're at the front, and they're proud of what we're doing, and they show it to their great customers. Second, and it's becoming more and more important, now I'm even wondering what is more important, is clearly the internet and the PR around the brand. You've always got the early adopters, the people who dared buy my HM1 when it came out, when MB&F was nothing, and they took the risk of buying a $200,000 piece of horology from a brand which was unknown. Those guys had serious guts. I'm not telling you that somebody who's buying one today hasn't, but I mean, the guys 3.5 years ago were really at the cutting edge. Then these people mostly have become extremely faithful customers because they are so proud of what we're doing. They're part of the community. They're part of the team. And the people who are coming in now, because they see it on the net, because they see it in editorials, because they see maybe their friends wearing them, are the second generation of buyers.
Okay.
Well, Max, don't you remember? I think I was one of the first people to see the HM1 at that dinner.
I remember. That was in L.A., absolutely.
Yeah, it was in L.A. That went way back when you first unveiled it. That was an amazing moment. Everybody was Twittering, you know, and you revealed the machine.
So would you say your primary markets are U.S. and Asia, Max, or is it spreading elsewhere? Is it a planetary thing, or are you targeting certain markets? Do certain markets just do better with MB&F than others?
I must admit, we have no power of convincing people. We have the power of creating what we do. So basically, it's the clients or the markets who decide if they like or they don't like. Now, what has appeared, what I see now today, and that's a very passive vision of it, is that 50% of our pieces, we just finished 2010 doing 152 pieces. And the year before, we'd done 143. So globally, we do about 12 pieces a month. So half of those 152 pieces went to Asia. Southeast Asia, that's basically Singapore, Thailand, Malaysia, also Hong Kong. We're not in China yet. And so that's the biggest market. 20% come to America, and 30% go through Europe. But in Europe, many of the pieces are sold to Asian and American customers.
Wow,
so maybe
okay.
The breakdown at the end of the day is, well, I don't know, 65 Asia, 25 America, and the rest Europe.
Got it.
Let me ask you, Max, I was really interested since, you know, you've worked at more traditional companies like JLC, like Harry Winston, and you really took horology and you went 3D and sculptural on it. And I wanted to know, do you think that the big brands could be more creative given the financial means they have?
That's a tricky question. I think everybody should just follow their path. I mean, nobody would understand if Patek Philippe came out with a piece like what we do. It wouldn't make any sense. I think it's super important that they are the guardians of our values. They are the guardians of our traditions. Each one should follow his own path. And when marketeers start coming in and saying, oh, the clients want this, let's do this, I think then you lose your soul. So the brands should just follow their path and not bother about what the trend is and what the clients want, and that's what makes the strength of such a craftsmanship and emotional, important industry as ours.
Mina, I think we have somebody on the air Caller, are you there? Well, I just piped in somebody who is not speaking to us.
Actually, I'm sorry, I had it muted. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Who is this?
Actually, my name is Chandler Hall. I came across the talk radio show earlier on LinkedIn. A contact I recently made, Jerome, was a horologist in Switzerland, and he was telling me about the show. I was very interested to hear. I wanted
awesome.
To call in to mention what I think. I'm in marketing, and I think the statement about how they focus toward their designs and that the people that love them really love them. In my 20-plus years of marketing, I think good marketing creates either love or hate. This neutralist feeling, that's not good marketing. So if you've got someone that hates it, you probably find someone that loves the design equally as much.
You're probably on the right track, right? Max, what do you think about that? Obviously, you would agree with that, I take it, right?
Well, I would agree, and at the same time, no offense meant, but I hate marketing. I hate marketing.
We all say that. We don't mean it.
For 14 years, I created watches for other people. I created watches so that they would sell more, so that we'd make more money, and I was pretty good at it. But it's a complete abnegation of yourself as a human being. It's all about seduction. It's not about who you are. And in life, it should not be like that. Of course, there's an economy here we're talking of, there's business we're talking of. And MB&F for me was a life decision. We're saying, I don't want to please everybody. I want to be selfish. I want to create what I believe in. I'm not here to change the world of horology. I don't have any statement like that. I'm just enjoying myself without caring if people like it. And that is my life decision. Of course, that means money's not there. That means I work even much more, 80 hours a week. But that's not a problem. My freedom comes with a price, and I'm happy to pay for it.
Awesome. Hey, Max.
I think that delivers style. It's very nice. I think he delivers very well.
Hey, thank you, caller. I really appreciate
you
calling in.
Thank
you very much. Keep following us, and I'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks a
thank
lot.
You.
Hey, Max, there's a couple of questions that I don't know if you're familiar with Proust questionnaire, which is a literature thing, but, you know, this set of questions that we're going to ask everybody who comes on the show. Would you mind going through those real quick? I mean, these are off the cuff, 2 seconds. We have like 3 minutes left, on the interview, unfortunately. And if you want, we'll just run through these. If you don't want to answer them, just blow me off. Not a problem. But let me run through them real quick. Number one, the brand you admire the most, Max.
Oh, wow. I would have to say brands, and in fact, I would have to say individuals, because today, being an entrepreneur and a creator, what I admire is people like Felix Baumgartner of Uhrwerk, who followed his path and did whatever he wanted when even the market didn't understand what he was doing. It's a François Paul Journe, it's a Carrie Voutilainen, it's a Denis Flageolet and David Zanetta with De Béthune, because all these people create their own style, their own product. They're not marketing products.
That's why
I love all these people.
Good answer. Hey, Max Busser, as a boss, are you respected or feared?
Definitely not feared.
That would be respected then.
yeah, absolutely. I hope so, yeah. I mean, some of my team here, practically everybody in MB&F has worked with me at Winston, and some of them had worked with me at Jaeger. So there must be a reason they follow me.
Yep,
it's
clearly.
It's not funny, clearly.
Most important watch markets for you in 2011 this year?
Well, we just spoke about it. Clearly Asia.
Gotcha. Most important event in the history of your company, Max?
Beginning of August 2005, its creation.
Got it. What do you think about internet sales for watches? Is that a good thing or a bad thing for the industry?
That's not only totally necessary, it's a fantastic thing.
How about the most important... Yeah,
sorry?
I don't know.
Go ahead.
The most important person in your life, Max?
That's easy. In fact, I've got practically no family left, and I've only got my mother, so it would be her.
Got it. And what's your favorite time of the day?
Lunch.
All right. Hey, Max, thank you so much, buddy. Unless you want to add something, we're pretty much all done with the interview there. We got 5 minutes left. I think we're going to have a mystery guest call in soon. Perhaps not. We'll see. But I want to thank you very much. I think it's been really enlightening. Mina, you want to add something, I'm sure?
Well, I just really thank you, Max, for coming on. And you're somebody who is, your watches are interesting, they're thought-provoking, they're stimulating, and I really love following your machines and your career and also being friends with you through the watch world. So thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about watches.
Thank you, both of you. It's been great. And I must tell you one thing. Why I immediately accepted, not only because I've known Mina for years, but what you're doing is something I wanted to do on my website and never had the courage to do. So,
oh my God, you're kidding,
guys. Yeah,
thank
I wanted
you. Well,
to do an interactive show, and we never came to it. And so you guys are the first, and congratulations.
Oh, thank you, buddy. That's really nice of you. Talk about validation. You're one of the greatest, man. Thanks a lot for coming on. Appreciate it, and I look forward to seeing you next week, probably.
Looking forward.
Yeah,
pleasure.
See you
take
next
care.
Week. Thanks,
awesome.
Max. Bye-bye.
Good deal, Mina. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
We had like 300 questions because we're idiots and we don't know what we're doing. We had 300 questions in 15 minutes, and that wasn't going to fly clearly. But I think we got some good ones in there.
Yeah, and you know he's always he's very candid, and I really like that because you can really get to the bottom of. What he thinks. And, you know, when our caller came in and said that it's a lot of marketing and fluff, and when you interview Max, you feel like there isn't marketing and fluff. There's
a lot of genuine... What you see, what you hear is what you get is the feeling I got from that. You know, I've never actually met the man in person, unfortunately, although this too shall pass fairly quickly. But yeah, he's a go-getter, man. He's the real deal. So
yeah.
So good. His website is that we should probably give that out. Although I'm sure most people know about it, but it's M B and F, just one word. The letters M as in Mary, B as in boy, and that's a preposition, and F as in Frank or friends. So mbnf.com is where you will find discover Max's amazing creations, and I strongly encourage everybody to go there who's never heard of the brand, because they're quite something to look at. Even if you can't afford the watch, and some people can't afford $100,000-$200,000 watch, right, Mina? Like, you know, like us. But every so often,
right.
It's nice to go there and just look at the thing because it's art. It's like you go into a museum and you can't afford a Picasso, you can't afford, you know, a beautiful piece of art, but just looking at it is pleasurable. So,
yeah.
So anyway, that's my recommendation for the day. And you know what? I thought somebody was going to call in, Mina, and I was going to surprise you. You know,
I
know you like to be surprised. Hey, by the way, we didn't talk about Percy today. In case you guys haven't heard, Percy is our show mascot. And Mina promised me before the show started that she was able to make Percy bark on demand with a watch.
Right.
You're wearing which watch today?
Oh, I'm wearing a Parmigiani Calpa Grande. It's quality Fleurier. It's in rose gold, and I really like it. It's more of a dress watch, but I can also wear it when it's more casual as well. And what are you wearing today, Jerome?
Well, you know me. I'm partial to my Marvin watch. I'm wearing the M112 model. That's the automatic manual rewinding system. Watch that Marvin produces, marvinwatches.com, which is actually the company that I came to Switzerland for because I was their first community manager. So I'm proud to wear it. I love the watch, and it makes me feel better. It's one of those things. you can understand that.
Percy, are you going to speak for us? Percy, speak. Speak? Come on. You can do it.
I think we have somebody calling in. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
I think I am on the wrong one.
No, I don't think you're on. Who is this?
I'm Cecile. I wanted to speak with the talk show on the watches.
Cecile May. You got in. Cecile is actually the brains and everything behind Marvin Watches. We were just talking about you. So thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. How are you?
Is this our surprise guest?
Yes, this is our surprise guest, Mina. It's not a surprise anymore.
Hi, Cecile. How are you? Thanks for calling in.
You got in. Cecile is actually...
Sorry?
Cecile, are you on a regular phone?
Yes.
Can you listen? Can you hear us?
Yes, I hear you very well.
Oh, good.
Good, man. Listen, we look forward to seeing your new stuff at Marvin's Stand next week. What number are you going to be at?
We're going to be at the GTE on the room upstairs, and I wanted to congratulate you on this first talk show. I listened to it, and it was very interesting.
Thank you. You're very kind to call in. I'm very happy that you took the time. I know you got plenty of things going on with the show and everything, so with the GTE, so great.
But we are looking forward to listen to you now.
Yes, I'm going to talk about that. Yep. Hey, thanks for calling in, Cecile. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Cecile.
Okay.
Bye.
Gotcha.
Bye.
Yeah, we're going to be doing this show every Thursday at 4:30 Swiss time, which is 7:30 a.m. your time, Mina, right, in California?
Yes, it is.
Aren't you happy about that? And 10:30 a.m. if you're in New York City or on the East Coast. And don't forget to check our blog, which is whattimeradio.tumblr.com, which is T-U-M-B-L-R. Of course, we're on Facebook as What Time Radio. Of course, we're on Twitter as What Time Radio. And just don't forget to plug us in for next week. Same time, same bat channel, same everything. We're going to have some new surprises for you next week. We're probably going to be broadcasting from the GTE show with Mina. Mina, you're coming in on Saturday, I think, right?
Yeah, I'm coming into Switzerland on Saturday.
Awesome. So all the details, information, hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, hit us up on the blog, and just give us a holler. My name is Jerome Pinault. That's jeromepinault.com. That's my website. My co-host is Mina Goldsmith at, go ahead, Mina.
Watchmatchmaker.com, one word.
All right. So if you guys want to reach out to us, you know how to do it. We'll talk to you next Thursday. Thanks for all those of you who took the time to listen. Thank you for our callers. Thank you to Max Busser, MBNF, and thank you to Cecile from Marvin Watches for calling.
And our marketing guy who called in to give us some his perspective. That was cool.
Absolutely. Have a good time, everybody. Have a great Thursday night, and have a great Thursday day if you're in the U.S. of A.
Ciao.
Don't go to bed with no price on your head. Right.